Now we want to come here now to the fourth verse, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now joy is the very source of power in Christian living. Rejoice in the Lord always. That means always. That means that regardless of the day, whether it's dark or bright, whether it's difficult or easy, whether we are facing problems and temptations, or whether we are sailing through the sky on cloud nine, whatever cloud it is, that is the thing that we're told and commanded, and this is a commandment now for believers. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say it, he repeats it in case we missed it. Rejoice. Rejoice. That is something you and I can't work up from beneath. It's a fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. That's the second thing. Now, there is no power in a Christian's life except through joy. A sad Christian has no power. And one that does not experience the joy of the Lord has no power at all. Notice what Nehemiah said in Nehemiah 8:10. This is a tremendous passage, by the way. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's your power. You see, these people, many of them that had been in the Babylonian captivity, had never heard the word of God. Never. They were as much in the darkness as any pagan or heathen would be today. And now, for the first time, they've heard the word of God. They've heard it read, they've heard it explained, and it has been a thrill to their hearts, and they weep because of it. Now Nehemiah said, wait a minute, you're not to weep. Today is a day, a great day. You're to share the blessings, the physical blessings that God has given to you, and you're to enjoy it. God wants you to. He's given us richly all things to enjoy, and to enjoy means rejoice. And that's your strength. That's your power. You can't be a Christian with power without joy in your life. That's what gets up the steam. That's the source of it. And let me illustrate that, because this is something that the world has taken over. In fact, they've made it rather hypocritical. Today, you find that salesmen that want to sell something, they're generally very happy fellows. You never went in to buy anything at a store and have the salesperson begin to weep on your shoulder when you ask about a certain product. Why, they begin to smile and tell you how wonderful it is. That's the way they do. Well, how far would the fuller brush man get if he was a sad little fella that went around weeping at every door? He doesn't use that approach. He's a very happy fellow. We had one several years ago, and I say we had one because my wife, somehow or another, thinks those brushes are a little bit better than the ones I can buy at the 5- and 10-cent store. So she does business with him. And one Saturday morning, I was up in my study, which is the garage's connected to the house, and I have a room up there that's my study. And I was looking out the window down the driveway, and here comes the full of brush man. He wasn't crying, I can assure you. He had no crying towel at all, just smiling. And I wasn't smiling because my wife had gone to the market, and I knew that fella, you know, would distract me and take part of my time, and Saturday morning is when I got my sermon into shape. And so he rang the doorbell. I absolutely ignored him. That is, at first. And he didn't let up. He's not going to give up that easy. He put his thumb down on that door bell, and he stayed with it. And I saw immediately I was going to have to go down. So I went down, I opened the door, and I suppose with a scowl, I said, "Yes? You think that that in any way chilled him, my friend?" He was just absolutely the epitome of happiness. I've never seen anybody so radiant as the fellow was. He's selling brushes. And he said to me, "Imagine Dr. McGee seeing you. I never expected this privilege." Well, he knew immediately it's no privilege. I wouldn't buy a brush. And I don't know how he did it, but in the next 2 minutes, I found him in the living room, and I was talking to him, and I was holding in my hand a little brush he'd given me. Well, you don't put a man out of your living room that's just giving you a brush. So I had to listen to the sales pitch, and he gave it with great happiness. And then I told him that I was sorry that I didn't buy the brushes. My wife bought them. She was at the market, and that I was very busy. Well, that did not deter him. That did not pour cold water on him. "Why," he said, "that's all right, Dr. McGee." And I wanted to give his brush. "Why, no," he said, "that's yours." And he went out and went down the sidewalk whistling. And I thought as he went down, "My, that man makes a living selling brushes. And that's the way he does it." And I could only wish that tomorrow morning at church, the members would come in like that fella is. Now, I do not know whether he was really that happy or not. That is his sales approach, I'm sure. But a child of God ought to have it in reality. And there'd be power in our lives if we had a little bit more joy in our lives. Fact of the matter is, the world tries to even work that up. In fact, they spend a great deal of money trying to produce joy, and they call it happiness, and they are after that. I tell you, the millions of dollars are spent in nightclubs. These comedians are living like millionaires because that's what they are today. All they do is tell a few stories, and people are shelling out money. Why? They want to laugh. They want a little happiness as they go through this life. And the child of God that goes through today life with a sour look and a jaundiced approach to this world, he'll never have any power in his life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Now the world today tries to work it up another way. I have noted in going around to these motels that they all have bars, very few exceptions, and that they also have what they call a happy hour. Well, I've watched folk who go in there, and none of them look happy when they go in, and I give you my word, in an hour or 2 hours when they come out, I can't see there's been any improvement, but they've had a happy hour. They feel like if they drink enough of the stuff, why, it will help them overcome the problems of life and give them a little happiness. And a great many people are trying to compensate for the inadequacies in their own lives in that manner. And I saw something new. It was new to me. We were up in Medford, Oregon, and at the Holiday Inn, and I came back, told my wife, I said, "They don't call it happy hour here. They call it the attitude adjustment hour." Now, that is quite new, and I would very frankly recommend that churches have an attitude adjustment hour. And it would be very helpful, by the way. Every Sunday morning, here comes Mrs. Brown, and she's got a lot of things to tell. She's heard some choice gossip during the week, and she can't wait to spread it at the church. Well, it'd be wonderful if you could take Miss Brown into a very attractive room and give her a cup of coffee and get her in a sweet mood, make her ashamed to go around and tell those terrible things about some church members. Now, maybe the pastor, even. I don't know. She might be talking about him. And then here comes Deacon Jones. And I want to tell you, he's breathing out fire like a dragon of the Middle Ages, because things just don't go to suit him. And it'd be nice to take him in and, you know, to cool him off and help him recover his cool so he could go in and enjoy the sermon. May I say to you, we need an attitude adjustment hour, a happy hour in the church. And frankly, the devil sure has got in his licks. He's made folk believe today you can't have fun going to church. And I think you can. I think you ought to. I think it ought to be a joyful place. And that is the place of power. I've heard in times past that the prayer meeting is called the hour of power. Well, that's nice, but we need a little something else. We need to get back to the source. And the source of power is joy. And instead of praying in the prayer meeting for things and for God to do something, why not pray that he give us joy in our lives? There's a song I used to sing at the summer Bible schools when I was a young preacher and conducted them. Down in the dumps I'll never go. That's where the devil keeps me low. Now that is a song that has a real theological message. That's exactly what he wants to do, is to take away the joy in your life. Because that is the source of power.